Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's put up or shut up time for one NFL quarterback. We dive into that here on Fox Sports Radio. Get Ryan on Twitter at the Ryan Hollins. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Craig Kishon. He covers the Milwaukee Bucks for Bally Sports and get a look at to what's ahead for Game 4 in a series that became a series last night with the Bucks' victory in Game 3. And, of course, two Game 3s tonight. First in Atlanta, Sixers and Hawks series tied up at one apiece. And then the nightcap in Denver where the Nuggets try to get back into their series down 2-0 to the Phoenix Suns. But we start with the National Football League here. And Russell Wilson, at the time we were doing the show and probably wrapping up our show yesterday, Russell Wilson spoke publicly with the media for the first time since his offseason of intrigue occurred right after Super Bowl 55 when he voiced his displeasure to Dan Patrick and also told reporters that maybe he was looking for more protection from his offensive line. Russell Wilson addressing the offseason comments publicly for the first time yesterday.
There was a lot of confusion because the reality is that I think I was in the Bahamas or somewhere and everybody was saying that I requested a trade. And that wasn't true, so we made it clear that I did not request a trade. And then there was teams being flown around that I was going to go to those teams, this and that. And so, you know, I think that, you know, when you look back at it, you know, it's part of, it's part of it, unfortunately. And I think that, you know, more than anything else, you know, that I got my wish, you know, in the sense that I've always wanted to play here. That's where I am. That's where I am right now. And, That's what I've always hoped for ever since 2012 when I put all the names in a hat and pulled out the Seahawks out of a hat, you know, and then sure enough, about, I don't know, 30 days later, the Seattle Seahawks picked me. So, you know, that's my mission. That's my goal. And that's why I'm here today and ready to roll.
Okay, I have no idea what the heck he was talking about at the end because he just tries to distract you from the main point. I get he wants to be in Seattle. I actually don't think that he requested a trade either. But when you start to put out these are the teams that are going to that I would be willing to go to, does make you think that maybe you thought about what life could be like outside of Seattle. And it's those comments, Ryan Hollins, that I think the quarterback that is the most pressure on him in the NFL this upcoming season is Baker Mayfield, just because I think of how close the Browns are and what that legacy in that franchise means and how important this season is. But I would put Russell Wilson in a close second in that one, and even more so than Aaron Rodgers, because to me it sounded like Russell Wilson just tried to get his way this offseason. Didn't want out like Aaron Rodgers did. He just wanted his way. And if you don't play well, and if you don't live up to your billing, then your demands of wanting to get your way are going to look foolish. Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. That's fine. He's towards the end of his career. But I think there's a lot now on the shoulders of Russell Wilson to carry, considering how much he was seemingly asking for this offseason, whether it be upgrades in the offensive line, input on the coordinator, which he did have. He asked a lot. Now it's kind of a case of put up or shut up in my mind.
I agree. I agree that he didn't want to leave Seattle. I think Aaron Rodgers has been done with the coaching situation. He's been done with the front office. And when they expressed to him that they didn't believe in him, Aaron Rodgers just, the common sense just said, get out of here, man. You know, put sure. up a year in good faith. It's time to go. But Russell Wilson didn't want to go. The one thing I love about Russell Wilson, he's so likable that you got to credit, you know, within kind of the him wanting to get more and having to strike some fear into the front office, he just throws in so many positive comments in the between it. Hey, man, I'm ready to go. Let's get back out there. There's so much positivity. You can't be mad at Russell Wilson. But can you blame the guy? He's got to be the quarterback, the running back. When they don't want to invest into the offensive line, he just runs for his life. He just runs. The only other quarterback who I can think in mind and Dan pick me up, Gavin pick me up, is Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, who just ran for his life. The ball got snapped and he's sprinting.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, I would say, would be the other one.
So, Dan, I'm not mad at either of these quarterbacks for feeling the way they felt, but Russell Wilson's smart enough to get ahead of it and say, oh, before you guys boo me, before you get mad, before the Seattle faithful want to not like the last member, I was going to say living member, that'd be completely wrong, the last member of the Legion of Boom, he has to do some damage control now because he's going to show back up.
Thank goodness he didn't, first of all, say that. I think, though, that like Russell Wilson's comments are like looking for dinosaur fossils. Like like everything looks great. You don't really see anything there, but you got to dig and you got to dust off. And then you kind of find out really where he's coming from. Like, you're right. Like we're talking about him putting out teams and saying that this is where he would go if the Seahawks were trading him. And by the way, he's right. That's not him asking for a trade, but that is saying if you guys are looking for a trade, these are the only places that I would be willing to go. Now, you could also say, well, if you put out four teams, so the Seahawks are one, so that's five, that would mean there are 27 teams that I don't want to go to or that I wouldn't be willing to go to and I'd rather be in Seattle. You can spin it like that. The point that I want to make, though, is the whole thing of, remember when I was drafted and I drew out of a hat and it was the Seahawks and it was great. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm a Seahawk and I've always wanted to. That's all mumble jumble, you know, happy, you know, things are great. And John Middlecoff hit it on the head. There isn't a quarterback that cares more about his image than Russell Wilson does in the NFL. And that's all this is. But the fact of the matter is this: everybody wants what Tom Brady wants. Everybody wants the power. They want the say when they're a quarterback. They want to have control of their organization. But first of all, nobody has the accomplishments that Tom Brady has. And second of all, it wasn't like Tom Brady got everything that he wanted in Tampa Bay. He wanted him to sign Antonio Brown right away. Buccaneers are like, it's not going to happen. In the end, yeah, they bring him in. Tom ends up being happy. Buccaneers have a great defense. He helps them lead to a Super Bowl, and they win, and everything's great. Hey, but that's his seventh Super Bowl. Dan, Russell Wilson's only won one, and he wasn't even really a part of winning that Super Bowl.
But Dan, the fact that he signed Antonio Brown at all was like, that was a thing. Like, that was a statement. Because his head coach came out and said, we are not interested in Antonio Brown. Hey, Antonio, welcome. We're running 46 zipper fly for you.
And hey, at least they showed restraint at least early. They didn't cave into everything. I mean, at least they said, we aren't going to do that at first. And then maybe they acquiesced and said, all right, let's do this. But even if they did give in right away, or maybe they didn't wait enough time, it's Tom Brady and everything that he has accomplished. Dude. And it's not to diminish what Russell Wilson has done in Seattle. It's just there comes a point where you have to realize that you're not Tom Brady and you can't get everything that you want. And so to make it all about him and his success, and that's the tough part. It doesn't seem like there's going to be an issue between he and his offensive line when he seemingly threw them under the bus by saying, I'm tired of getting hit. That's an indictment on your offensive line. It doesn't seem to be an issue. Didn't seem to be an issue in minicamp this week. And when they have their mandatory minicamp next week, I don't think it'll be an issue, but he did go there, and he went there in a season where he wasn't great in the second half of the year, and it was the second straight season that he did so. So now he's complained about all this stuff. He had a say in the offensive coordinator. They were in on Julio Jones. They didn't get Julio Jones, but they did have conversations. They've upgraded their offensive line, or at least added a piece with Gabe Jackson. They've done a lot for Russell Wilson. So now it's up to him to put up or shut up. Like, if Aaron Rodgers goes to Green Bay and has a bad season, I think we'll be like, well, maybe the MVP season was a flash in the pan. Too bad, Green Bay. You should have traded him earlier. But if Russell Wilson doesn't have a good season with the Seahawks,
hey Danny,
you're sitting there saying, why did you ask for all of this stuff when you can't have that MVP caliber season the entire now 17 games?
Hey Danny.
Yeah.
How many Super Bowls does Russell Wilson have?
One.
How many Super Bowls does Aaron Rodgers have?
One.
So why does, I know you're saying Aaron Rodgers was kind of forced to. He played good last year. Russell Wilson was up in the air. Why? Yeah. You're very strong in saying that Russell Wilson, I feel like, are you saying career-wise, he's not the player that Rodgers is, that he's got to put up more? Why? You're very strong in saying this.
Well, Russell Wilson doesn't have the career that Aaron Rodgers has. They have the Super Bowl titles, but Aaron Rodgers played more of a role in Seattle in Green Bay's Super Bowl win than Russell did in Seattle's Super Bowl win. He did. Russ didn't throw a touchdown pass until the fourth quarter in that blowout of the Broncos. The game was already over.
Hold on. If Pete Carroll didn't – listen, we got to talk about it. If Pete Carroll didn't take the ball out of arguably the most physical running back that the NFL has ever seen on the gosh darn one-yard line, there would be two rings.
Sure. Who threw the interception?
Yeah, I mean, anyone could have thrown that interception.
Listen, it wasn't complete. Russ threw the ball high on the pass. We could break down that pass and talk all about it. The point being, though, is as you look at it as a whole of what Russell Wilson's accomplished, statistically, you know, he's had some good seasons, but Aaron Rodgers' career outdistances him. But also, you have to realize that Aaron Rodgers is going to be 38 in December. Look, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility if Aaron Rodgers does play for the Packers and doesn't have a great year that, you know, the sunset of his career is coming up in the next two or three years. And that's not the case for Russell Wilson, who's power playing in the prime of his career.
Yeah, well, wait.
That's all that I'm saying is, like, you need this. There are no excuses for Russ this year to not perform at his level. And if he wants to blame it on the team and say that he didn't get the offense that he wanted, really had a, you know, he had a say in the offensive coordinator. There's a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson this season.
Hold on. Dan Beyer with an E. Who had the better team? Last year, was it Aaron Rodgers? Or was it Russell Wilson? Who had the better team?
Aaron Rodgers.
By how much would you say? By how much?
They had a better left tackle when he was healthy. Had a better running game. But, you know, it's not as far off as you would think. Seattle was 12-4 last year. They won the division. They were competing with Green Bay for that home field advantage.
See, okay. Hold on. See, here's what stinks. And here's the message. And correct me anytime you want to jump in. Anytime. Because Russell Wilson is extremely athletic. He can run. He makes something out of nothing. That's kind of his deal, right? They felt like they didn't need to give him an offensive line, a proper run game, just kind of go make it happen with DK. At least they drafted a wide receiver. Let's give kudos to Seattle. They gave him a wide receiver. No line, but he got a wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers, there's an understanding. He was very well protected. Am I wrong?
Aaron Rodgers had a very good offensive line in front of him. Seattle's used to be the worst in the league. It would now be average, maybe slightly below average. But Green Bay, when they had Corey Lindsey and you had David Bakhtiari, those are two all-pro, not Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber linemen. So, yes. Russ is expected to do more with his legs. And there was a time where they just said, run for your life. Like we're not investing. We feel that you're mobile enough. We're not going to invest as much. But those are also days in the past. There's just a lot of – when you ask what you asked for, if you're Russell Wilson – There is going to be an expectation then for you to perform, because he did receive some of those things. As you mentioned, they needed a wide receiver. They lost David Moore to free agency, so he's no longer. They needed a third wide receiver next to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and they ended up drafting Dwayne Eskridge from Western Michigan. So they've got a guy. They've added another guy there, but you've also added Gabe Jackson when you wanted offensive line help. They re-signed Chris Carson. They've made a lot of moves to appease Russell Wilson, and now it's time for Russell Wilson to put up. Or, you know it, he may need to shut up when it comes to wanting things in Seattle. How about that? That was big. I didn't want to tell Russell Wilson to shut up. I didn't want to say it, but it just worked too well in that sort of put up or shut up scenario.
You are attacking arguably one of the nicest guys in the entire National Football League.
I'm putting the spotlight on him. He wants the spotlight. He loves the spotlight. Now is the time to produce. Now is the time to produce. For what he has asked for and what they've given him and what they've allowed, Russell Wilson did get his way. Now it's the time. Now is the time to produce. He needs to produce more than Aaron Rodgers needs to produce more. That is a fact.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Ryan Hollins, the 10-year NBA vet. I'm Dan Beyer, sitting in for Doug on this Friday. It's been a lot of fun the last couple of days. We still got a little more time left with you, so please continue to hang out. We'll check in on what's happening with the Bucks-Nets series in about 5 minutes or so, and we have a final from the French Open. The semifinal match between Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal is over. Brian Fenley will give us an update. I just want to quick get your thoughts, though, Ryan, on the big deal, the trade that happened earlier this week. Julio Jones being traded by the Falcons to the Tennessee Titans. And is now we're in the point where we're in mandatory mini camp time, and training camp's going to be here in a month and a half. So as you start to look forward to the 2021 season, and instead of looking back, how high are you on the Titans now that they've added Julio Jones to their offensive arsenal?
I'm very high on the Titans. I don't know if I can just say, you know, they're going to leapfrog the Kansas City Chiefs. I wouldn't be silly enough to do that. But I know for darn sure you don't want to have to play against them. The fact that you can run the ball, Julio can catch one-on-one, we don't need to talk about all that jazz, Dan. We've talked about it. But ultimately, this is a team you've got to look out for. Football gets very, very simple. And the fact that everyone's underrating this decision, because at the end of the day, players make plays. And I know there's questions of the coaching staff, the defense, but when your defense has a chance to be rested, they could be pretty darn good. And when you have guys, you got guys on the field that you have to account for, you've got to double team, you've got to triple team, you've got to contain them at best, that is tough to play against. I believe the Titans are going to be okay. We heard earlier that Julio Jones looks great. He looks phenomenal. And I said this a couple weeks back, even if Julio Jones has lost a step, which it doesn't look like he has, Julio Jones is 6'3". Julio's 6'3". He's as big as a tight end. He's going to be all right.
I understand the move. I think that any team would be interested that is trying to knock on the door, and you're trying to get a player that could take you to the Super Bowl or help you win a Super Bowl. I understand that portion of it. The compensation that they had to give up, seemingly minimal for what you're hoping that he brings to the team. With all that being said, and you know there's always going to be a but, I still like the Colts more in that division. And it's a Titans team, and it's nothing against Julio Jones, but I do think that his health is a concern. Only played 9 games last season. And this was a Titans offense that was already pretty good. 4th in points last year, 3rd in total yards. So we didn't have to worry about that. We knew that Derrick Henry was going to be Derrick Henry. And yeah, they lost Jonnu Smith and they lost Corey Davis in free agency. So you had to replace some of that production, and Julio Jones will do that. To me, it just, you know, comes up on the defensive side of the football and how good Tennessee is. And I just think that the Colts and the way that they play are better in that division. And Kansas City, with their moves that they've made on the offensive line, I think will be better offensively. I think they'll be more balanced. If you could be more balanced with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, obviously you just want to let him do what he's done. The point being is this: I just think Tennessee needed to get better on the defensive side of things. And when you add to what is an already good offense, I just don't think that raises you 4 or 5 notches up the power rankings of the NFL, if you will. I think it's nice for the Titans. I think a lot of teams would want him. I just don't think it moves the needle for me with the Titans.
Here's something that I want people to look at. You know, between the NBA and the NFL, we've trended towards a different type of game. What do I mean? NBA small ball was incorporated, but it looks like the big man's back. Phoenix mm-hmm. has a big man. Utah's got a big man. Nikola Jokic was the MVP of the NBA. Big man seems to be trending. When I look at football, there's the same thought that, you know, Patrick Mahomes would just run around the pocket and throw no-look passes all over the place to Tyreek Hill, and just this run-and-gun football is back. We looked over at the Cardinals who looking to do it with Kyler Murray, and, you know, the offense is opening up. But guess what? The teams that are having success have trended back towards a running game. Aaron Rodgers was extremely successful because of his running game and his defense last year. Okay, Tom Brady knew the most important pickup that they had was getting Leonard Fournette. They pounded the rock with Leonard Fournette, and Brady managed his way to a championship behind that defense and made just enough throws. Ryan Tannehill gets it. Okay, the Tennessee Titans get it. We are going to milk Derrick Henry for all it's worth. I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, come on, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong,
I'm listening.
The NFL is trending back towards a running game. And even ask Mr. Mahomes, because what did he miss? The Chiefs were dynamic when they had a running game, and it just wasn't the same. And I'm not taking anything away from Mr. Mahomes, but it was not the same.
I'll say this. I won't correct you if you're wrong, but I'll just say this. I think running game has always been that there. Like realistically, and you're right, because the quarterbacks of the passing game has taken over. But realistically, you still have to run the football. And I'll even take the two Chiefs seasons. In Super Bowl 54, when they came back against the 49ers, you had Darren Williams ending up making a huge splash and almost becoming the Super Bowl MVP. In Super Bowl 55, Chiefs are like, we're just not going to run the football. Like, we don't do it. Just let Patrick Mahomes. And they got clobbered. Like, there is something to running the football, and that is what's going to make the Chiefs end up being, or excuse me, the Titans always being a contender because they have Derrick Henry. I just don't know how much it moves them in the landscape of moving up by just adding Julio Jones. I don't think that's the case. I said Darren Williams. Damian Williams is the running back in Kansas City who then took 2020 off. Point is, I think running games have always been there. But, yeah, you look at the teams, and you need to run the football. I don't care. Even how the Buccaneers did it, the Chiefs need to do it. Running games are definitely a part of the National Football
League. I just know, Dan, that everyone is really underselling this move of Julio Jones. And here's the deal, even without Julio Jones, Dan, the Tennessee Titans were a very good football team. Yeah. This is a team you didn't want to see.
They won the division. They lost to the Ravens in the wild card match. But the running game is actually why I like Cleveland and why I really like Indianapolis, because I like Indianapolis's defense as well. And now you have Jonathan Taylor in his second year behind that offensive line. That's how I think that you end up getting to the Super Bowl through the AFC. We'll see. I've been more excited I haven't been this excited for a football season in a long time. I don't know if it's because everything's getting back to normal or what's going on, but I am really looking forward to the National Football League in 2021. He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Dan Beyer. We look ahead in the Bucks-Nets series as there will be a game 4 in Milwaukee tomorrow night.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hopefully we'll have another great matchup in the NBA like we did in Game 3 and Game 4, the Eastern Conference semifinal series. Nets and Bucks will play tomorrow night. Joining us now, he covers for covers the Bucks for Bally Sports, previously for Fox Sports Wisconsin, and then way back in my day for NBC 15 in Madison. Craig Kishon joins the show here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Craig, how are you?
Dan, my man, what is going on?
It is a good time to be a Bucks fan, but I'm curious, Craig, how good of a time is it? How much happiness, how much glee, how much positivity can you take from last night's win, 86-83, that they grinded out to get back into the series against Brooklyn?
Well, I mean, for me, it's twofold because, as you mentioned, I've been around the state for a long time, and part one is just how good it is for the city and the state, especially the city of Milwaukee with the Bucks, because that's most of the interest is within the vicinity of Milwaukee. And I'm telling you right now, yesterday was 90 degrees. It was as summer as it gets. Everybody was out. I mean, there were, you know, close to 17,000 inside, 10,000 outside just down on the plaza. And there was probably another 20,000 to 30,000 people out in the city you know, at bars and restaurants and whatnot, because they've all become, you know, outdoor destinations now. So that part's been really good. And then for the team itself, we can all say it wasn't a pretty victory, and I think we all understand that, but they just needed to win a game and needed to gut out something and do something that they didn't have a lot of success during the regular season, and that was winning a game, a clutch game, you know, in the final minute, in the final seconds. They haven't done a lot of that this whole year. So those things, especially for the team, add up pretty well.
Craig, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Well.
Craig, I got a big ask for you coming from me. Craig, I got a big ask right now. Craig, you remember I was quite possibly one of the most hated people in Wisconsin, and it was real because no one liked my takes on Giannis, and I said he wasn't a closer. I thought he's amazing. I love his story. Great guy. His improvements, beautiful, beautiful, but he's not a closer. He wasn't going to dunk his way through the playoffs, but still an incredible talent. And I was assassinated daily from Bucks fans. They hated me. I need your help on Twitter. Can you shout out a good tweet? But talk to me. Are there frustrations with Giannis or people behind him? Is it like, you know, just don't shoot threes and dunk some more, work on your jump shot? What is the feeling amongst fans? And even more realistically, what can this team do now with a weapon like Giannis Antetokounmpo to continue having success against the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, honestly, I think the biggest thing yesterday, and in this series, as a matter of fact, just versus what we've seen from the Heat, he can't just do things by himself. I mean, that was his downfall in the last couple of playoff years. And I think everybody thought maybe he'd turn the corner against the Heat. And he had done really pretty well all season long, being a ball distributor. He's getting high assist games, triple doubles, that type of thing. And you don't get that unless you understand, you know, what the system is that he's working in right now. So I think a lot of people thought he matured and made that next jump. And I think we're all a little bit puzzled on what we've seen over the last few games. And yesterday, especially in that home game, became such a true isolation. He's got the ball in his hands, top of the key. Really early in the first quarter, you know, I kept saying, what are you doing walking the ball up? I mean, they just missed a shot. You got to get down court and take advantage of not getting running into a wall or taking that ball one-on-one where you're just doing nothing but dribbling. I think fans understand, you know, what he's capable of doing for sure. And I think right now fans also understand what his weakness is. And I've said this all along. He's a great basketball player, but he's not highly skilled at handling the ball and highly skilled at going one-on-one when he has to crush through a defense. And that's what makes players elite. That's what made Kobe great. That's what made MJ great. That's what makes LeBron James great. They just have something right now that he's still working on. And don't feel hated, my friend. Everyone around here has passion. That's all you got to understand.
He was hated, Craig, more than Illinois drivers on a Wisconsin summer on a highway. That's how much Ryan Holland.
I just want my apology forms, Craig. That's all. I haven't gotten one.
We have a lot of passion not wanting to pay that ITOL when we go south, so I hear you.
Craig Kishaw joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, covering the Bucks for Bally Sports. He's Ryan Hollins, the 10-year NBA vet. I'm Dan Beyer. How much is it, I mean, is Mike Budenholzer on the hot seat in this year when it comes to his future in Milwaukee?
I don't know. I mean, it's something that we've, you know, talked about. You know, I said this before the playoffs, if he gets his team into the semifinals and they fare well, you know, they won't have home court advantage. I think he's safe. I mean, I think this is still a carryover of strange times in pro sports as we still work through getting back to normal. And I think they had a really good season. And so I think he is safe, because I will say this, who's going to replace him that's going to be better at this point? I really don't know who that person is, to be honest with you. I mean, right now there are guys like Jason Kidd and Terry Stotts. Well, they've already coached here.
Sure.
I know there's some other candidates out there, but I mean, You know, I just don't know who you bring in at this point with, you know, their core, their team right now. They've got a pretty good big three. They may not have the elitist big three, but this three is pretty good, and they respect the guy that much, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff there, Craig. Craig, do we feel like if losing to the Brooklyn Nets, is that a failure of a season, or is it just in the sense of, you know, you kind of get the feeling watching Milwaukee outside of Giannis, I don't want to make a Giannis bash test, I don't want to make it that this team just doesn't fit well? Are they kind of getting exposed, or is it more like, hey, the team needs to gel some more? Like, what's just the vibe there on what you're seeing on the court? And I do believe you have to take into account that the Brooklyn Nets are pretty darn good.
Yeah, well, I mean, last I talked to anybody, they're still the favorite to win it all, right? And James Harden has played 45 seconds of this three-game series so far. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a failure to lose to them. I you know, if you don't look good along the way and they overexpose you, then maybe there's some things to look at. But I think this team right now is going to be in a pretty good situation, because I think this has just been a strange series. Every game of these three previous games that have been played so far have been unpredictable. I never would have thought I would have seen a game like yesterday, 86-83. I think the biggest eye opener, just to answer your question, you know, Ryan, is the simple fact that this team playing the heavy minutes for the starters is just not something anybody around here is accustomed to seeing. I think some people were begging for it for the last couple of years to get your frontline players even more ready for the playoffs. But you got to admit, I mean, you know this, there's continuity that breaks up once playoffs start in some form or fashion. And right now, 6 points off the bench, everyone's like, well, they got to do something. Well, they hardly played minutes in the last several games. They're playing 13, 14 minutes a game. And right now, you know, if they're missing a shot or two, that's about all they're going to get unless they start hitting them. They're not going to take any more, and they're not getting the extra minutes. So to me, that's the biggest eye-opener for the Bucks in this particular series. They spread it out minutes-wise nicely in that Heat series, but they're saying to their starters, it's time to go, here we go. And I thought P.J. Tucker looked tired yesterday in the fourth quarter. I mean, here's a guy that's, you know, hasn't played for a while, came to the Bucks, didn't play for a while because he was injured, and now you're telling him to play 33, 35 minutes a game. He's got a load on him trying to guard KD, that's for sure.
Yeah, he had 0 points yesterday. Ryan and I talked earlier. If you could hold Kevin Durant on to 11 to 28 shooting, that's fine. Don't score any points, but something's got to give at least at that point. So if Durant's scoring a little bit more, then yeah, maybe P.J. Tucker's going to have to step it up. Or even Jrue Holiday. Had the biggest bucket last night, but they were few and far between. Craig, we appreciate the time. Great to talk to you again. Hopefully this run for us Bucks fans continue. We appreciate your
insights. Thanks for the tweet, Craig. Thanks for that tweet, Craig.
Enjoy game four.
I'm working on it. I'm at the Brewer game tonight, so I'll be carving some stuff out for you.
Get him on Twitter at Craig Kishaw. Appreciate it, Craig. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggie Remix on Fox Sports Radio. He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Dan Beyer. Glad to have you with us. We are sitting in for Doug today. Before we get to the press and Brian Fenley, I just want to say one word about Giannis. It is, you know, you brought it up with Craig Kishan, who just joined us. I actually have no problem. I understand missing free throws. Guys have missed free throws throughout their careers.
10-second counts?
It's the three-point. That's a little different story. That can be corrected. It's the actual
in
shooting
the playoffs?
It's the shooting of threes that actually is the thing that bothers me, the thing that needs to go away. You know, Shaq was whatever at the free throw line. There's an opportunity to improve that maybe throughout his career, but immediately right now, maybe he'll only make 50%. Maybe he'll only make 60%. Maybe he'll only make 40% of the free throws. The 3-point percentage, as I said, you might as well just cross half court and throw the ball out of bounds if he's going to launch threes. I mean, one of them got stuck up by the shot clock last night. Like, it was so indicative of it. It wasn't that off target. It just took one of the weird bounces and got stuck up there. And you're like, all right, maybe that says it all. That's what I think needs to change with Giannis. Just stop taking threes. They're going to let you shoot them all night. You could attempt 40 threes. The Brooklyn Nets would love it, right?
This is where we start to realize that the Bucks don't have a chance. Because you're looking at Giannis, and now we're just tearing apart the Bucks. He shouldn't shoot threes. He has to shoot free throws better. He can't airball free throws. Now we're starting to tear the Bucks apart. In the midst of being down 2-1 against not a good, not a great, a prolific, arguably the most prolific unit offensively that we've seen in history. So prolific they don't even have James Harden on the floor. And they're still getting busy. Now, excellent job last night. We're not going to act like they didn't hold them to 83 points. But we saw how hard that was. They had to grab. They had to hold. They had to foul. You spoke about P.J. Tucker being run ragged, getting minutes that he hadn't got since joining the team. But ultimately, when we look at the Bucks, they just have to do too much. You can't be a project and you're playing against the projected champion Brooklyn Nets, the favorites to win a championship without LeBron James on the other side. And you've got holes in your game, holes in your team. You're new guard in Jrue Holiday, new defender in P.J. Tucker, who coach wouldn't even throw in until he was absolutely needed. Man, there's just too much. There's too much for the Bucks to do. And you didn't even feel good about the win last night.
Hey, a win is a win is a win. Brian Fenley's here with the press.
The press.
All right, Brian, let's cook through these. What do you got?
Yeah, so you guys know that athletes can be very creative when thinking of how to decide on a jersey number. Julio Jones coming up with a pretty unique formula here. He explains the math and why he's choosing number 2 to don for the Titans. He says, well, he said that, you know, A.J. Brown, that he was 11. He turned that down and said that 1 plus 1, the two ones in 11, is 2.
2.
And 11 times 2 is 22, which is Derrick Henry's number. So it is a reminder that they have all three to deal with. Does that make any sense?
No, but I'll tell you what, the nickname Tulio, I think you should have Tulio T-shirts. I put that out on a tweet that included the Titans. They did not like it, so I don't think you're going to see it. But I like Tulio Jones with his jersey number 2. I thought there would be no math.
Yeah, man, okay. I like 2. I don't mind it. But football players' numbers don't stand out to me like basketball. I'm sorry. Just too many numbers out there.
That's fair.
Oh.
Kyler Murray says he's not shutting the door on baseball just yet. Of course, a former top 10 pick of the A's. He says, quote, "I'm not trying to start anything. I'm just talking," close quote, when discussing his interest in baseball.
Roger that.
Bo Jackson was cool doing that. Deion Sanders was cool. I just don't think you could do that as a quarterback. Too much to ask. Kyler Murray should shut that door and focus only on the Arizona Cardinals. I think he was kind of laughing when he said it, but when you're a quarterback, it's a different animal.
Yeah.
And you thought Russell Wilson had leverage. Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Final one, guys, here. Tom Brady had the football that he threw for his first touchdown be sold to an auction for $428,000. First touchdown throw from Tom Brady in 2001. I believe Dan Beyer bought it.
No, there would be no way I would be buying that. There is no way. Plus, I mean, geez, gosh, 20 years ago? That's memorabilia, not necessarily my thing. Mini helmets, different story. Did you want that football, Ryan? Did you want Tom Brady's football, first football or touchdown pass?
I'd love it as a gift. Oh, beautiful gift.
I know. There's no way that bad boy is being purchased. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.